Hi, I'm DeWitt Bingham. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show, where we discuss all things social and criminal justice related, from the front end to the back end, and everything in between. You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can and will be held against you. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. You're in the self-incrimination protection zone, where there is no cruel and unusual punishment, no illegal search and seizure. The exclusionary rule has you covered. So sit back, relax, and become sold on this week's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show. I'm DeWitt Bingham, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the show that discusses all things social justice and criminal justice, where the goals are to inform you, the American citizen, of your constitutional rights, to provide educational and occupational guidance to high school and college students, and to be a voice for change. We are in the 14th week of classes at Heartland Community College, and you know what that means. That means we got two more weeks after this week. Wonderful. That's right. Applaud, Jackson. Yeah. And so we actually, this week, are actually studying juvenile justice, but I usually do the podcast covering the previous chapter that we're on. So this podcast is going, is related to our study of corrections in the community. So without any further ado, I introduce to some and present to others, Ms. Cameron Wolford, Mr. Jackson Carby, and Ms. Gabrielle Lee. Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Hello.
Hi.
The title of today's show is Reentry After Incarceration. So let's jump right in. Segment one is for the educational and occupational guidance of high school and college students. We accomplished this by having our guests introduce themselves. So if you would, tell the audience where you were born and raised, what high school you attended, your major or planned major, why you enrolled in the course, and give us one career goal. Beginning with you, Jackson.
All right. So I was born and raised right here in Bloomington Normal, and I attended Normal West High School. My planned major is to finish this associate's in the general studies. And the reason I enrolled in the class is because my interest in law enforcement as a career, and that ties into my career goal, which is to be a patrol officer. That is my ultimate career goal. So that's where my interest in this class came from.
All right. Gabrielle?
I want to be a parole officer. I'm a little bossy. I have a lot of faith in God, and I would love to share my story with other people. So this class really sparked it, especially with how you teach and how you go about things. I was born and raised in Bloomington. I went to Bloomington High School for the school. So I just know that I would definitely love to share my story around and help people out and try to get them on the right path.
Wonderful. Cameron?
I'm from Bloomington, Illinois. I went to Normal Community High School. I'm just getting my associate's degree right now. And I chose this class because I wanted to do, I want to go into like paralegal work. And I thought that this was a good first step.
All right. Wonderful. Segment two, constitutional rights. Segment two is to inform the American public of their constitutional rights. But before we ask you to tell us what your favorite constitutional right is and why, let's remind the audience that the title of today's episode is Reentry After Incarceration. So let's start there. In your own words, tell the audience what reentry is, Cameron.
What I think it is, as individuals merging back with society and readjusting to social norms.
In your own words, tell the audience what the purpose of reentry is, Gabrielle.
The reentry program helps individuals transition from incarceration back into society by providing support and resources for successful
reintegration. Okay. In your own words, tell the audience about a reentry program we have in Bloomington Normal area. Jackson?
So I found that there's an area in Bloomington Normal. It's called Job Partnership, and it's basically all about reentry through the Joy Care Center. It's located in Bloomington. It's a community and a program that help people stay clean, positive, sober, and successful, and they provide jobs, clothing, food, necessary transportation, mentorship programs, and just a plethora of things to help out.
Wonderful. Joy Care Center. I totally forgot about the Joy Care Center. I know that we have a house called Labyrinth that is run by the YWCA, where there are women who are released from prison and they actually are housed there and go through a program that is designed to help integrate them back into society, like you guys were saying. Why do you think that individuals transitioning back into the community from prison, why do you think they would fail?
I believe that a lot of people fail because they get back in their old habits. They get around the same people doing the same thing. And even though that they may have learned like so much in incarceration, easy to get back into the old ways, your old habits, who you hang out with, who you surround yourself with. And some people don't have a lot when they get out. They don't have a lot of help. So you got to kind of stick to who you know and stick to what you can do.
I think it's also hard because you have to hold yourself accountable. It's up to you to hold yourself accountable, and that can be really challenging.
Yeah. Holding yourself accountable and associating with individuals that you associated prior to being incarcerated. What do you think, Jackson?
I'd agree with those statements as well. I think it's also a matter of, you know, say you get out and you go back to those people that were free the whole time. Their habits probably didn't change at all because, you know, they weren't incarcerated. So it'd be pretty easy for them to break you back into those habits because nothing about their lives, you know, day to day has changed. Well, you know, you just got released from prison. Say you were in there for a year, 6 months, however long it was.
Wonderful. And individuals that are released back in the community from prison are being released, and guidelines or conditions are being set by who? Who are those conditions being set by when somebody gets out of prison? Who are the terms and conditions being set for the parolee that's coming back into the community? Have you ever heard of parole board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, so individuals that are released from prison, they actually have to go before a parole board or a review board. And when they go before that review board, their terms and conditions are set. And then they actually will actually deal with being accountable. They will actually deal with who they associate with. They'll actually deal with staying away from certain people in order to be successful. All right. Very good, guys. So now tell the audience what your favorite constitutional right is, beginning with you, Cameron.
My favorite constitutional right is the Eighth Amendment, more specifically, no cruel and unusual punishment.
Okay. Gabrielle?
I put freedom of education because it is important because it empowers individuals to pursue knowledge, develops critical thinking skills, and make informed choices. It helps you, especially with the help in college, like with the financial aid and all that, because it kind of puts your minds to the books and not to the streets, so I can help you get to a better path later in the day.
Okay, Jackson.
So my favorite is freedom of religion, which falls under the First Amendment. This has been important for me my entire life. Freedom to express religion. It allows me to express my religion and not have to worry about that. And freedom of speech as well. It goes under the First Amendment, but just being able to have the freedom to say what you want. A lot of countries don't even have. So
okay.
I'd say that's my favorite.
Okay.
Constitutional right.
All right. Wonderful. Is anyone above the law? Starting with you, Jackson.
This is a rabbit hole we might open up here. I don't think anyone should be above the law. And I think from a worldly perspective, it's easy to say that nobody is, but you don't entirely know. It gets into, I've got another class. We've talked about the elite theory. I'm sure you know much about that. That would be an example of people that are. But in terms of citizens and stuff, no one is above the law. No.
Gabrielle?
No, nobody is above the law, not even the president. Also, police officers like to act like they are above the law. Anyone that's in like the government system working area, they kind of act like they're top notch and a little bit above. So that's the sad part. But no, nobody is.
All right, Cameron.
I would like to think that no one's above the law, but I think if you have enough money and enough connections, I think you can get away with pretty much anything.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Segment three, being a voice for change. As emerging adults who grew up in a predominantly white America, what say Cameron, Jackson, and Gabrielle about white supremacy and Black Lives Matter? Beginning with you, Cameron.
I personally think that Black lives do matter and white supremacy is a very real thing. One of my old teachers kind of put it like this that really like made it click a while ago. Like, let's say they're like two houses next to each other. One of them is on fire and one of them isn't. You're not going to help the people in the house that's not on fire. You're going to help the people in the house that is on fire. I think that we just need to help the people who are in need the most. And right now that is not predominantly white people.
Okay. All right. Gabby?
I definitely believe in Black Lives Matter. I work somewhere that's small, but it's I work at Wendy's, and I've seen a lot of my friends that I work with that are Black go through a lot of racial images. It's so much. It's actually insane. It is true about white supremacists. I see it beforehand with my one of my bosses. He calls one of my friends, anybody that like the girl that I'm friends with, he calls her aggressive, and it's only because of her color, which is actually insane because I'm the aggressive one and she isn't. She's the nicest person I've ever met in my life. I definitely believe in Black Lives Matter 110%. And I definitely believe we should help in the ones that are in need, and it's not the white people. I can keep going, but yes, I believe in Black Lives Matter.
Okay. Jackson?
I certainly would agree with Black Lives Matter as well. The people specifically, I know in the past several years, the organization itself has been a controversial topic. However, I believe that, racial profiling, racism, white supremacy, these things do still exist in our country. Ever since MLK, we've seen improvements in these things, but unfortunately, they are still around. I think they're pretty suppressed in certain areas, especially like the workplace, like Gabby mentioned. I work at Rivian. It's a very big manufacturing plant. And it's something that, personally, profiling itself is something I've seen people do, people get away with. So it definitely is still a problem.
Wonderful, Jackson. All right. I ask everybody that comes on the show, if there was one thing that you would like to see the Biden administration accomplish, what would that one thing be? Beginning with you, Jackson.
Right now, probably slow the funding of other wars that we are not currently a part of. Obviously, inflation in this country is a major issue. And the minimum wage has gone up too. During Trump's presidency, it was $10, I believe, was the federal minimum wage. And now it's 15, or it's going to be 15 next year. I know California just recently passed a law making it 20. It's interesting, actually. I was ordering Domino's last weekend for me and my family, and there was a message on there that said prices in the state of California may vary. And it was right after I heard about that. I was like, that's very interesting. So inflation is obviously a big problem, and that's, one of the more publicized issues that the Biden administration has to deal with. Yeah, I think slow the funding of wars that we aren't involved in and we don't want to be involved in is probably the number one thing for me.
Cool. Gabby?
Immigration reform. Everybody's worried about boarding them away, but they're crossing to escape something, obviously, that's deeper than what we know and what they go through and trying to get a better life. But why can't we help more? He wants to build so much money for this wall to build, but the groceries we're paying $4 almost a gallon for milk. So they're just worried about the wrong things. And I definitely put immigration, because what I've seen, I know a couple of people that are working to get their card and stuff, and they are amazing workers, amazing people. And
okay, Cameron.
For me personally, complete protection of our reproductive rights is a big thing for me that I want to see happen completely.
You mean to tell me that you don't think that the men of this country knows what's best for a woman's body? Come on now, me and Jackson know. Me and Jackson know what's best for y'all, don't we? So you disagree with that, huh, Cameron?
So much you don't even know.
Wonderful. Okay. Should a convicted felon be allowed to be president of the United States? Beginning with you, Cameron.
Overall, I think no. people can change and people can be better. I think overall, no.
All right, Gabby?
Yes, because I know some people that I feel like this system is very broken. For example, my mom is a felon, and what she got a felony charge for was the most minorest thing. So I believe not to judge people and judge their past and what they have done. I think it should be like stipulated on what you have done, maybe, or like go further in depth with it. So therefore, I believe yes. Just I think there should be stipulations on top of it.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay. Jackson?
I'd argue that they should not be allowed to be president of the United States. A reason is you can be predominantly American, but you were born in another country and you can't run for president. Doesn't matter what you've done good in your life, what you've done good in the country. If you weren't born here, can't run for president. But to say that push off someone that would be good for the country and allow someone who has a history of felonies. Now, I'm not saying people aren't able to change either. I think absolutely they are. You know, I know people that have gone from, you know, down here in life to here. And so I don't think they should be shunned and pushed off and displayed as bad people just because they've made mistakes. But there are certain restrictions on who should be allowed to run for president. And I think one of them should be they have to have a clean record.
Okay. All right. Should convicted felons be allowed to vote? Beginning with you, Jackson.
So obviously voting for president. And I don't know, it's going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but voting for president and being one is, you know, obviously completely different things. And like I mentioned, they, you know, people can change. I do think they should be allowed to vote. I don't think that right should be stripped from them. I think all Americans should be allowed to vote. And I think that's an important right to have as Americans, especially in this country now with the way elections work. So, yes, I do think they should be allowed to vote.
Okay. Gabby?
Yeah, I said yes.
Okay. Cameron?
I also said yes.
Okay. All right. Last but certainly not least, marijuana is legal in the state of Illinois. Should it be legalized at the federal level? Begin with you, Cameron.
Yes. Okay. I just think there's more ways than just the basic of like smoking weed. It can help with a bunch of other things as well. So okay. I said yes.
Okay. Gab?
I was conflicted on it just because I hate the smell of it. But with what Cameron said, I believe yes, because it is used in other ways. But it just, I feel like it would just depend on how they would use it. So yes.
Okay. All right. Jackson?
At the federal level it's one thing to think about is the amount of arrests and just crimes that are committed because of marijuana usage. If that wasn't such a main focus in some states on tracking down who's using marijuana, then maybe they'd find crimes that are more important to track down than just people who, you know, smoke a little marijuana from time to time. But it is conflicting, certainly. I don't know from a tax perspective and everything, but I'd probably just say yeah, because in terms of policing, I think marijuana should be the last of a lot of people's worries when you think about the things that do happen in the country. So, you know, people using recreational drugs and, you know, like Cameron mentioned, they can be used for good as well, medical reasons. So I would say yes.
All right. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Reentry defined, the purpose of reentry, how to help incarcerated individuals, important constitutional rights, and how to make America a better place to live. Until next time, keep living your best life. God bless and Godspeed.